They think selling their Bitcoin is okay. Don't sell your Bitcoin. Buy more Bitcoin and befriend squirrels and raccoons.
You're homeschooling him. This is how you found out about Bitcoin during a homeschooling lesson. How did that turn into Brainsprout Studios?
I needed somebody to speak about Bitcoin, chat with, and indoctrinate other than my wife. So I chose my son.
I basically turned homework into a monster movie. You're welcome.
Brucey, didn't Michael Saylor, he told you, stand on the bridge between the old world and the new. What did that mean to you when he said it?
They treat it like it's free money. It's not. They just press a button and think of everything's gonna be all right.
In our story, it's a weapon system. It's something that is much bigger than just something I can send and buy a Steak and Shake.
It also can make you cry of its beauty, kind of like an onion. It's basically non-controlled money.
When my father passed away, I was able to recognize that prestige or titles, none of that means anything. Really, what I wanted to focus on was teaching my sons not only about Bitcoin, but how to live. Our villain is transhumanist, a technocrat, looking to erase history, looking to change what things mean. Changing of words, changing of symbols.
Fake proof of work.
The absurdity of what taxpayer dollars are being spent on.
Rewriting history, censorship. This is math. This is not hype or marketing.
Bitcoin is one of the most ingenious innovations in human history, all wrapped up as a get-rich-quick scheme.
The guy who made it didn't even stick around for applause.
Down a rabbit hole. Down. Cypherpunk.
Today's guests are Bruce Barone Jr., architect, developer, Bitcoin strategist, and founder of Civic Bitcoin and Brainsprout Studios, and Brucey Barone III, the 10-year-old creative visionary behind the Time Chain universe. Bruce spent 5 years transforming Naples' Fifth Avenue South into one of the most exclusive districts in the country. Now, together, they're plugging Bitcoin into the DNA of cities and institutions while building a faith-driven Bitcoin mythology that has already surpassed 5 million views. Gentlemen, welcome to Cypherpunked.
Thank you, Maddie. We're happy to be here.
Hey, look, Mom, I'm famous.
So tell me about this plaque we got going over here, Brucey. Yeah. Brucey, what is
Brucey,
this?
Why don't you explain what that is?
We got 100,000 subs recently.
Wow. Congratulations. That is awesome.
Some people did a little bit mean comments before we got this. But no sweat.
Yeah, there's a lot of haters out there. You just can't listen to these people.
We even subscribed to a guy who called our thing sloth. We subscribed. A few anonymous people, besides Satoshi, are a little dangerous. One of them killed Peanut the Squirrel.
Oh, yes. That was very, very brutal. Yeah, I was very, very upset about that.
Very. Yeah,
so was he. That's like a big deal.
That was really a big deal, man. It was terrible what they did. You know, this is the problem with government bureaucracies and nameless people. I mean, the main evil today is not so much active evil. It's people who just stand by and do nothing or don't say the thing that needs to be said in times of, distress. And that's, an example of what happened to Peanut the Squirrel, I think.
Sometimes the most dangerous person is the quietest one in the room.
That can be true.
That can be true.
That absolutely.
One of the things that we talk about just in general, doing the right thing, even if it's hard or difficult or not popular.
Absolutely.
That's how we raise our boys.
That's an extension of what integrity is, right? Doing the right thing, even when nobody's looking.
Absolutely.
Right? Even when it's difficult or hard.
That's right.
So, Bruce, tell me a little bit about Civic Bitcoin and what you guys are working on there. As a trained architect, when did you realize that money is the foundation everything else sits on?
The idea of for Civic Bitcoin is essentially looking at how cities are run, what they do, how they budget, long-term planning, and essentially looking at things through the lens of mismanagement and incompetence. So Civic Bitcoin, the concept behind that is essentially taking sunk costs, things that are already being spent on, the electricity, the generators for a sanitation department or a police station. You're already having these costs a part of your budget, but so much electricity is being dissipated and lost in this process, and you're losing an enormous amount of money. It's going out the door and you're getting no value for it. So the concept behind that is essentially taking those systems and capitalizing on that sunk cost. The idea for like a city council would be allotting a budget, a really clarifying idea of how would they run the city around Bitcoin. And having that sovereign, layer to their treasury and that they would hold it. The idea would be keeping something on their balance sheet that is completely incorruptible and it won't continue to leak. So it's like wanting to give ourselves that much protection as possible.
Brucey, if you designed a city powered by Bitcoin, what would it look like?
There'd be a statue of Satoshi, many statues of Satoshi, many statues of Michael Saylor. There's going to even be something engraved everything divided by 21 million.
Wow. That's a pretty good answer to the question.
Interesting.
Maybe I can get a statue of you on it.
Oh, man. Bruce, I know we talked a little bit about this, doing some of the landfill stuff. There's a lot of potential there, right, to really, like, take a lot of that methane.
And the flare gas, yeah. You know, the idea of all these, the leaching of this flare gas into the atmosphere, mm-hmm. and the fact that you essentially have these locations, not only around the country, but even in Collier and Lee County, where there's an opportunity where you could really leverage the methane that's being leached into the atmosphere with no protection. And this would be in a way you essentially bring those miners on there and you capture that electricity and start mining Bitcoin from that. Awesome. So it's an incredible process. And I think that there's opportunities all across the world and people are doing these projects, you know, essentially pilot projects. And that's what we're looking to do here in Collier County. And just in general for Southwest Florida, I think that even the incoming or, you know, running potential governor, Byron Donalds, you know, really wants mm-hmm. Bitcoin to be one of the paramount yeah. things in Florida. And I think that Florida has a great opportunity for that just because of our location, mm-hmm. the right demographics, the economics, and essentially, you know, sun. You know, we have the solar power. We have the infrastructure here. And I think there's amazing opportunities yeah. because of it.
We also have very well-run government.
Absolutely.
You know, here, one of the few states, few places that does actually have competent government.
Well, and I think that what excites me about like the idea of like even a private company utilizing this or one that relies on government grants, that they don't have to essentially kowtow to the federal government. We've been through this process over the last 5 years mm-hmm. where your ability and freedom is up for grabs. And so the idea that you could, as an entity that doesn't rely on federal grants solely, and you have your own Bitcoin treasury line mm-hmm. where you don't have to jump, you can be autonomous. And I think that's mm-hmm. the main key. And we see what can be done somewhere in a competent state.
Yeah.
So, and if there's a process in place, I think it's really the strategy behind it, the mm-hmm. planning, and also you're not basing everything on like a 4-year cycle. So mm-hmm. the idea of politicians coming in, redirecting your plans. Now, these things would be foundational. And I think if you're building a city, you know, we look at new urbanism, the way urban planning is done, how cities work with pedestrians, users actually interacting, the community. You want these systems in place so that all of the components of the city are maintained at the highest level. And so I think it's a exciting opportunity if there's a demand. And I think there is.
I think you're 100% right. I know you mentioned that after your father passed away, you stepped down from a major civic role. How did that shift your understanding of what actually lasts? You know, what does durable value mean to you now that it didn't before?
For us, that was a major impact on my life and our family's life. Mm-hmm. You know, you're very focused on needs of the city or your stakeholders, whatever your project is. You know, my mm-hmm. background, I was working as the executive director of Fifth Avenue South, which is right down the street here. So,
yeah.
you know, the aspects of how it affected and impacted the rest of the community, the city, the airport, all those things went into play. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, when my father passed away, it gave me a chance to step back. And well, I was able to recognize that prestige or titles, none of that means anything. Really, what I wanted to focus on was our legacy, mm-hmm. building that and focusing on teaching my sons not only about Bitcoin, but how to live. And so that's been like a main focus for us. And it's been a tremendous blessing that I have the opportunity to be able to work with them and be with them because of all the hard work he did in his life. So
yeah.
it's all matriculated down and it's a great thing.
He also got allergic to anything impressive. He bases it off of it's a good idea, not an impressive idea.
When you say good, do you mean morally good?
Sure.
And impressive could mean it doesn't really matter. It's just whether it sounds good. Is that what you're kind of saying there? Is mm-hmm. that the difference?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, Brucey, tell me, what about Bitcoin really made you interested?
Well, the guy who made it didn't even stick around for applause. It's basically non-controlled money, and it's basically kind of like a puzzle. And if you want to make a change in Bitcoin, mm-hmm. you have to make sure your team agrees or disagrees. If they disagree, then it's a no-go.
All the nodes in the network.
The nodes.
When you think about the time chain, what does that mean to you, Bruce?
The ledger!
You worship the ledger.
The ledger,
right? It's basically truth in a block. Basically, yeah, kind of like a receipt.
So, Bruce, if I remember correctly, you were homeschooling him. Yes. And how did that, so this is how you found out about Bitcoin during a homeschooling lesson? How did that turn into Brainsprout Studios? Tell me the story.
In 2024, we made an idea. I basically turned homework into a monster movie. You're welcome.
That's very true.
I love his energy.
I joke, I needed somebody to speak about Bitcoin other than my wife to chat with and indoctrinate. So I chose my son. And so we started watching Michael Saylor videos, and that was really the key to it. And just digesting as much as we could. We've been listening to the Bitcoin Standard, or one of the actually favorite books was Soft War with Jason Lowry's book, listening to that podcast. And that actually was
that's deep stuff.
Gave us like foundational things to thinking about, like, what is Bitcoin and not necessarily what people expect it to be. And so that's kind of played a role in our work with like the electricity, the using Tesla as one of our main characters. I think that's one of his favorite things is using the historical figures as main players in our story,
including Mr. Oppenheimer.
Yeah, that's actually true. We're working on a new story. Our first piece is Guardians of the Time Chain: The Hunt for Satoshi, and the second follow up to that is the Cathedral of Time, and we're exploring with the Council of important brains who have thought about this:
Nash, Ford, and Oppenheimer.
So like the ideas of like electric money, the precursors of Ford wanting to utilize electricity as a form of money, just interesting ways and things that have been done in the past and how they've been manipulated through the course of time. And so we're really fascinated by that.
Bitcoin is one of the most like ingenious innovations in human history, all wrapped up as a get-rich-quick scheme, right? When first people think, oh, it's just it's magic money that's like, it's a get-rich-quick scheme. But then when you start peeling back these layers and you're talking, I mean, you're dropping some interesting reads here. Soft War is a fantastic one.
I feel as though Bitcoin Standard is psychotic. Good. We're delving into this. It's one of those things where it becomes like a mind virus. So you start...
Bitcoin mind virus.
You delve into it deeply and we're just immersing ourselves in that world. And it's not necessarily easy to communicate it to a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
But there's things that he's able to latch onto that we've been able to like.
Well, he's doing fantastic. What he just said was fantastic.
Understanding the subject, which is not easy.
Not normal for a 10-year-old to be able to articulate what he's articulating to me now, which is incredible.
It also can make you cry of its beauty, kind of like an onion.
There you go. I like that analogy.
In our story, in our world, it's like a time machine. It's a weapon system. Mm-hmm. It's something that is much bigger than just the assumed role of, something I can send sats and buy a, Steak and Shake. It's something that is so fundamental and foundational that we recognize it.
I think Hadoop calls it element zero.
That's super awesome.
Discovered as an element. It's interesting.
Yeah, very much. Very true. Very true. We agree with that.
You don't say.
Can you turn the closed captions on for us?
I fear it because I know it won't save you. Kronos will.
Every block is a heartbeat of civilization. Discipline built me. Time proved me. Bitcoin freed me. Satoshi laid the stone. Tesla carved the vault. You, Brucey, must guard the fire. Bitcoin isn't money. It's time, sealed into truth and delivered to the future.
The people must be led.
Time Chain remembers all things. Nothing true is ever lost.
They must serve.
Who is Satoshi? We are all Satoshi.
That's a lot of trial and error.
I know there's been a lot of breakthroughs recently with some of these video models. I think that's just take you to the next. I think it's VO and another one as well.
We're using VO. And I think the next one that we're going to be looking at is Seed Dance. So we're going to explore that. But we really work in VO and Midjourney.
Okay.
Midjourney is interesting because I was brought into that from another world, like essentially looking and studying it through the prism of real estate and architecture design. and understanding, hey, this Midjourney program is incredible, the level of rendering and design that you can do. And that's really kind of my background. I'm, you know, an architect by trade. And so hand drawing, wanting to be a comic book artist when I was a little kid. So that's where all the inking and drawing and all that stuff.
That's super cool. Play.
We just do that out at home.
Speaking of comic books, my favorite comic book characters are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I really love the Teenage Mutant.
It's true. And
I used to watch them when I used to watch them when I was a kid, man.
That's one of our favorites.
That's one of my favorites.
It's what Brucey wanted to do. Like
Leonardo.
Like the idea of creating a universe.
I'm going to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
You can once a year. It's called Halloween.
Good one. Well, you know, that kind of plays into our thought process of like coming up with these characters and designing this. We were wanting to use C.S. Lewis and Tolkien as our
some deep philosophical stuff. You guys are essentially deep down the philosophical rooms.
Like deep guys, you know.
Yeah, I like it.
We like to play that on TV.
Hobbit and Frodo and Gollum.
Yeah, we wanted to create something that was unique around the concept of Bitcoin, but not make it. You know, we're not worshiping it. It's part of the process. It's one of the tools. In the mythology, and I think that's where we have Brainsprout Studios, the idea of Christ-centered stuff.
Are you guys going to produce like longer content, or is this just kind of an intro? Are you working on that right now? Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Working on that as we speak. We had written a original manuscript, so that we have a actual foundation. And so we pull our thoughts, our lines, the cool quotes from our original writing, and that's what we're working on right now. We're going to have a graphic novel, an actual really wicked comic book.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're going to actually have a comic. Absolutely. That's really cool.
It's going to be really.
So I wasn't sure if you guys were going to do like a comic book or if you were going to do like a video series or if you're going to do both.
Do both.
Okay.
And we're also working on prototype collectible plushies.
Okay.
You know, that are of our favorite characters. So you will have an awesome Satoshi. We will bring it. It'll be a gift on your doorstep, Maddie. So
wow, I love to hear
like
it.
It's awesome. Cool stuff, and it's given us a chance to really just be entrepreneurial with this. Like what we're doing is top to bottom. You know, exploring all facets of what this could be as a business. And we didn't get into it as such. You know, this was all videos of Brucey and I that we loved. You know, we're making it for ourselves.
If there is one thing clear, I love plushies.
Yes. Actually, tell them about your story. You're writing The Lord of the Plushies.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord of the Plushies. I love that.
Weird. It's basically a parody of
the Lord best of stuff Rings. In life is a little weird.
Everyone from Lord of the Rings is in it.
He parodies.
Okay, you're parodying that.
He started teaching me about public domain and whether or not we can build on it and create from it. This is this kid telling me.
Oh, that's incredible.
So he's identifying that all these different
Endless Horsemen, Wizard of Oz. If you like are a fan of very weird things, believe me, it's about to get weirder for Lord of the Plushies.
Okay.
Well, we'll stay tuned. I'm subscribed to the page, so we'll find out when Lord of the Plushies drops. What I like about what you guys are doing is that you're telling the story of Bitcoin, and you're teaching people about the concepts of Bitcoin, but with mythology and almost like this storybook, you know, narrative, as opposed to just like, you know, cookie cutter philosophical discussion, which I think is cool. It's a way to reach, you know, different avenues. The only other people that I can think of that is kind of trying to do this is like the Tuttle Twins. Mm-hmm. They've got some videos and some educational content, which I really like, and I think it's really cool. They're really cool.
I love the Tuttle Twins. Mm-hmm. I do like that version of Satoshi, except they should put him on a mask. He shouldn't do this and this and this. It'd be tiresome for his arm.
That's cute, buddy. That's hilarious. A lot of the time when you're looking for something and you can't find it, you start making it yourself. And that's literally what we started doing of just, how do we convey this? How do I communicate this message to Brucey? Mm-hmm. How do we make this accessible? And so we like telling stories.
Yeah. Do you know this, Brucey, that most of history has actually been passed down via stories? You know, if you look at the Bible, if you look at these different things, it's because people...
That's called passing the torch.
There you go. Passing the torch. I like that. Yeah. Very recently, you know, history was written down a couple thousand years ago, where we've recorded history, where we have actual writings. But these stories and traditions have probably been told to from father to son for generations and mother to daughter for, you know, tens of thousands, if not 100,000 years, you know.
Keeps on coming.
We had oral tradition of people telling stories before we had writing, and now we have writing for 2,000 years where people can write, and we're looking back and we're seeing those accounts, and maybe the stories aren't all true, right? Because the story, if you know, if I tell you a story and you tell him a story and he tells Paul a story, by the time Paul hears the story, it's going to probably be slightly different, right?
Sure.
So, you know, if that happens for a while, the stories change over time. Mm-hmm. But now we've got this time chain, this ledger, right? It's kind of an interesting concept, right? Where stories can almost be, or facts and things that actually happen can be passed down from generation to generation, but it can be stamped in the blockchain forever, right? You have this ledger of truth. So, Brucey, let me ask you a question, another question.
Yeah.
Why is the villain in the story always trying to rewrite the past?
Well, that's a very interesting question that you asked. It's because they're trying to rewrite history. It's trying to make all conflict out of it. But that's not the true proof of work. That's fake proof of work.
Rewriting history, censorship, social media now is particularly on X, where it's less censorship than it has been in a significant amount of time.
On Twitter X.
And then the fact that, you know, you're immersed in all of the stories of the day that are, you know, really concerning and serious, you know, you're able to see that now. And it hasn't been available for at least the last couple of administrations. And so, and the changeover with Elon taking over X. So, which is, you know, just an interesting component in its own self. So,
yeah,
I do think that part of our storytelling is reflections of what's happening in society today. So, our villain is transhumanist, technocrat, looking to erase history, looking to change what things mean, changing of words, changing of symbols.
We've actually seen a lot of that in the past couple of decades.
Absolutely. And,
you know,
I think one of the things people don't recognize, and that's what we've been learning, symbology and realizing what themes and symbols mean without overt text telling me what it says. And you have to be able to read between the lines. And that's part of the lore, the mythology of the time chain. That's concept of the Guardians and what Satoshi's done.
Elon Musk, he also stood out for Peanut and Fred.
That's true.
For what?
For Peanut and Fred. He's back to
the squirrel and the raccoon.
Oh, he's back to
that's another government overreach.
He's trying to highlight the absurdity of taxpayer dollars are being spent on. You're going to slaughter somebody's pet squirrel and you can't see that what you're doing is evil. I mean, it's like, you know, you've been totally brainwashed.
What's even worse, they didn't just put a shot and call it a day. They literally cut their heads off.
Well, I don't know about all those details. I hope that's wrong. I hope that's not right, Brucey.
No, I saw a video. It's right.
I hope not. Jeez. That's horrible.
It is terrible. It is terrible.
Let's move on a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Brucey, I got another question for you. Let's talk a little bit about this. What do you think most adults get wrong about Bitcoin?
They treat it like it's free money. It's not. They just press a button and think everything's going to be all right. Also, they think selling their Bitcoin is okay. Don't sell your Bitcoin.
So, Brucey, didn't Michael Saylor, he told you, you know, to stand on the bridge between the old world and the new. What did that mean to you when he said it?
Trying to cross paths with the past and the future and the present.
He had given a tremendous speech at the Atlas Society, Ayn Rand. And that's one of my favorite authors. Yeah. We just finished
Ayn Rand is fantastic.
Fountainhead for I haven't read it in 20 years since graduate school. And it's almost like I hadn't read it. It was very fascinating to hear it through the lens of now and see the relevance of it. But the fundamental to that quote was the idea that you have to show people instead of talking about it. He was talking about the idea of standing on the bridge and showing them that the bridge will hold, it will keep, it will stay. And that's where his kind of impetus, because he kind of went through a path of understanding, you know, rejecting and then coming to Bitcoin.
Most intelligent people have gone through that path. You know, because it requires a humility to realize when you're wrong, but it also, there's something, it's usually smart to be skeptical at first of a new idea, right? That's definitely having a little bit of healthy skepticism when you hear something is usually something that will protect you, because there's a lot of people that are trying to take advantage or scamming or whatever. So having a little bit of healthy skepticism is good initially, right?
Definitely.
What shows intelligence is, can you work through that and actually do your own due research and due diligence and get past that skepticism when you fully understand an idea? So I think he's been a great, Michael has been a great reflection of that.
We agree with you. And I think he's showing it, you know, by action. And one of the things we wanted to ask him was, you know, what's it like to have essentially the most Bitcoin in the world as a single person, you know, going through that process and recognizing it and putting your company on your back to do that. I think mm-hmm. it's just been an interesting process to watch him succeed in the way he is. And I also like seeing the market being so low now and him still being resilient and essentially, you know, this is math. This is not hype or marketing. I love Bitcoin because of those reasons. And so I'm very much rooting for him because you're always rooting for Bitcoin.
Yeah,
you want
exactly.
that to be successful.
Larry's book, The Big Print, I think the intro, I think Max Kaiser did it in the intro. He said, you know, once you understand Bitcoin and become a part of the Bitcoin community, it's normally you'd have all these different entrepreneurs, people competing against you.
Sure.
But with Bitcoin, he's like, congratulations. Now, Michael Saylor, all these people work for you.
Right.
It's a pretty, and that's honestly how I've always felt whenever I've been, you know, working on different things with different Bitcoiners, or I meet other Bitcoiners. I feel like we're all in this mission together to sure. have, you know, sound globally decentralized money for the future of humanity.
Absolutely.
Instead of extracting from the future generations, it just feels like it's an opportunity to flip that on its head and actually have true sound fair money.
I think that's very insightful.
Can't be manipulated.
I think that's very insightful. And mm-hmm. I think that the importance of being clear and having an idea of what we're wanting to accomplish, and mm-hmm. Bitcoin provides so many benefits. It's such a freeing thing, and in the use of it, you know, dealing with a bank, and this is a common thing, you know, a wire transfer as opposed to a Bitcoin transfer, these are major differences in mm-hmm. the world. And the idea of having to ask the bank for my money mm-hmm. and for permission to use
yeah.
it and send it,
it just seems, it just feels so absurd.
It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Completely illogical. Yeah. And so, you know, I resent the hell out of it.
I feel the same way as you, man. Just having to spend 45 minutes to ask to send a wire to talk to somebody. Why can't I just do this? Oh, we have to talk to you. We have to read you these disclaimers. We have to do all. It's like, I'll take full responsibility.
Just, what does this have to do?
Where is it going to? Who's it for? None of your damn business.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the fact that the system has become to this is like, it can't hold. It can't stay. It's just ridiculous. I can send a text message around the world. I can send information around the world. You know, instantly. I can end up in Australia a second after I press that button on my phone. Why can't we do the same thing with money? Well, with Bitcoin,
you can.
We can.
And you don't even need the internet.
Exactly.
So that's what's cool about it. Like
yeah.
the fact that you can achieve that result without mm-hmm. having to worry about electricity, the internet, the idea of being able to do that in a way where countries that have no real monetary system, that have no real mm-hmm. structure or government.
Yeah.
You know, this is where that is like a complete.
Yeah, it's hard for people in our first world to understand
you
but half the planet doesn't
that.
Have access.
Absolutely.
Yeah, half the planet doesn't have access to banking institutions. They don't have access to even have what little banking access there is, right? They don't have access to stable governments or
sure.
stable currencies even, right? Hyperinflation has hit, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people over the past, you know, couple decades. So, you know, no doubt this is very important technology for humanity. Final question for you, Bruce. As a city leader, a developer, a parent, another young kid is probably listening to this right now because Bruce is on here. What's the one thing you want them to walk away knowing?
It's a matter of not being scared, pulling the trigger and doing something. And if this was something that we had no expectation for, you know, wanting to learn and study together, teach my sons. And a part of it was the risk of not knowing. And as we've been progressing with this, mm-hmm. it's essentially, you know, we don't know how this will end up in terms of brain sprout or the work that we're doing. But I know that we're teaching the boys foundational principles. And that's really the most important, concept for us to convey to our sons and to give them the best foundation to learn how to interact with money, how to look at the world, different perspectives to that I think is very important. So for parents that are looking for the resource for Bitcoin, how to learn that. I mean, that's one of the things that we were struggling with, and that's why we've been working on the work we've done. And I think we make Bitcoin fun and easy to understand and create a little bit of a mythology and a little vibe to it so that it's not just, you know, an engineering brief. You know, it's one thing to read the white paper and to another thing to understand it, and then mm-hmm. another thing to relate it to your life. So I think we wanted to be able to take something and boil it down. One of the things my father always taught me is essentially, if I can convey something simply and with great care.
KISS, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, very much. Like, I don't need to have all the buzzwords. We don't need to impress you with all that
yeah.
stuff. I think the acknowledgement, the Bitcoiner, you know, mentality makes it, you know, special when you're dealing with people. And, you know, we're just having a good time and having fun. working with Brucey is just a dream come true.
I love it. I love it. Aw.
That's my little guy. That's my boy.
Brucey, you've been waiting patiently, bud. I got the last question for you. I saved this one up for you, bud.
Yep.
If you could put one message on the time chain for kids to read 100 years from now, what would it say?
Whatever you do, don't sell your Bitcoin, buy more Bitcoin, and befriend squirrels and raccoons.
And with that, it's a wrap.